Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode. It's Sunday morning here in South Africa and in Germany, and Ronnie and I are getting together to record this episode. Ronnie, you look rather chipper this morning. Has it got anything to do with the weekend sport?
Yes. Good morning, Nick. I'm healthy. I feel fantastic today. Obviously, you can hear I'm full of jokes. Being very positive today. Not sure why.
Yeah, I see you've got a cup of coffee there. I think this Sunday, it's a cup of coffee without the little added extra, hey?
Yeah. No, look, it's just what a great morning. Honestly, I woke up early this morning before my alarm. Cup of coffee. I was very positive. Even washed the dishes and everything was just fantastic.
Yeah, the birds were chirping, the tweets were tweeting, and
the music this morning on Spotify was fantastic as well. I picked a fantastic, it just happened. They suggested a brilliant playlist. So yeah, it's a good morning to be South African and to some degree Argentinian as well.
No, you're absolutely bloody right about that, Ronnie. So I'm not even going to waste time chatting about our weeks and weekend on this episode because we've all had good ones. If you're South African, if you're Argentinian, you've had a bloody lack of weekend. It was probably a bit of a piss up yesterday afternoon with a lack of braai on. The weather's good. I don't know what it's like in Germany, but I don't think you cared about the weather after what went down yesterday.
And agreed. I had a fantastic Saturday. And I suppose before we just get into we'll start off with Argentina versus the Wallabies, of course. But before we do that, just our new weekly thing is to give a little shout out to our patrons, Andre Meads, Carl Preston, and the latest superest of brews is Leroy Daisel. EU Oaks are legends. We can now buy an extra cup of coffee every week.
Yeah, shout guys for supporting the show and joining us on Patreon. As Ronnie said, you guys are helping us keep the lights on for 80 minutes. Get access to the pod early. You get discounts on our merch. Leroy, you're also eligible for a shirt. I'm going to toss that in there because we did the same for Andre and Kyle.
And that's fantastic because I was about to offer it to Leroy. So good. You're going to have to give me a heads up as these Oaks start rolling out. I might just be offering all your t-shirts.
Listen to this, Ronnie. May fork chomp. But yeah, I mean, it's a good as time as any. It's 10:43. So let's get cracking on this podcast, right? Yeah. As you said, let's maybe start then with the Wallabies versus Los Pumas game. That one took place in Sydney at the Allianz Stadium and a very tight 28-26 point win for Los Pumas and 2 points in the end. But again, a runaway first half and a massive Wallabies surge in the second, Ronnie.
Yeah, and with that even said, I think it went up to 60 minutes that the Pumas were, out in front and convincingly so. And the Wallabies, credit to them, the last 20 minutes, they showed a lot of grit and came very, very close in the end.
Yeah, they really did. I'm curious now because it seems to be a thing of the Wallabies is the surge in the second half. They somehow switch on when the pressure's on and can cook up these tries from everywhere and run them in at will. Do you think that was probably Felipe Contempomi's thinking by placing Pablo Matera on the bench? you know, bring that leadership on later in the game to calm the guys down, bring on that threat at the breakdown, the big ball carrier. Although I think the Wallabies somewhat negated that effect.
Yeah, look, I think if rugby in the last couple of years, if you haven't worked it out, but you know that the bench actually means a hell of a lot and you've got to be really strategic about it. It's not just about your, you know, your best players being the starting 15. Sometimes you've got to put your best players on the bench and, you know, they've got a job to do, and that job is to win the game. I think last week I spoke about cyclists, you know, keeping the sprinter at the back, protecting him all through the race and right at the end unleashing him. And that's a very specialist role. There's, you know, no one's looking down at the sprinter and saying he's a lesser cyclist than the rest of his team. Everyone's there to do a job. And if you get put on the bench, that's your role. You've got to bring that energy in the last 20 minutes or 30 minutes or even the last 10 minutes if you come on a little bit later. And the, you know, that goes for attack as well as defense. So Kwantepomi would have strategized like that. Ratsy's been doing it for a while. We're seeing a whole bunch of teams put fantastic players on the bench and bringing them on when it's necessary to do so. So both sides, it's a game of chess now. Who brings it? Who gets the timing right? It's no longer just, you know, who's the strongest, who's the most disciplined. It's now this added element of who's the most strategic.
No, absolutely right there, Ronnie. It really is. And I mean, Pablo Matera, maybe he did make the difference that stopped them actually getting over the line right at the end. Or maybe it was that forward pass to Jorgensen that saved the day for Los Pumas. But yeah, they managed to just edge this one and keep the Wallabies out. What would have been a glorious one. And surprised to say, we will go over the line, but this puts the Wallabies at the top of the rugby championship.
So how do you feel about that forward pass? I have an opinion, but let's hear yours.
Yeah, I think it was a forward pass. To me, it looked forward, out of the hands, and just from the view of the camera. So let's hear your opinion, Ronnie, because I'm guessing that you don't agree with it.
No, look, forward pass or not, it doesn't matter. Because the reality is people are going to get the calls wrong. And you must be a good enough side to take luck out of it, to take chance out of it. So that when things like that happen, you're still going to win the game. Or you're not going to lose the game because of decisions, a mistake that gets made, because that's the reality of the game. I think variability with the officials, you know, that's an element that you have to prepare for, right? So sometimes the bounce of the ball, you know, it's going to be in your favor. Sometimes it's not. So look, if you've got to be out so far out in the lead that calls like that don't make a difference. And I think that's what happened with Argentina. Look, they charged down that kick, that short arm off the scrum. Julian Montoya, fantastic try, fantastic. He was awake. If he wasn't awake, you know, Australia would have won the game. So you've got to take your chances because things like this happen.
Yeah, it's a culmination of winning the micro moments throughout the game. Like you say, that try from Montoya was unbelievable.
How great is it?
Reminds me of a younger me, you know, back in the day, charging down the hooker.
The only time you would have charged something down is if you were still getting up from the scrum and they kicked it into you.
Yes, Ronnie, aren't you just the kindest of chums, eh? Before we dig into a little bit of the stats on this game, Ronnie, don't you think it looks unbelievable how comfortable both of those sides look with ball in hand, though? Honestly, their dummy lines, yeah, the switches that they're running, their ability to pass left and right. It was just incredible to watch that running contest yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we'll shift our focus a bit more to Argentina next week. But, you know, maybe just in short, Argentina seem very comfortable with the ball. They seem well-drilled. Kwantepomi's done fantastic work with them. They're comfortable with the ball in hand, as you said. And it's concerning. It's worrying, right? Because they're a quality side. And fantastic. And the same goes for Australia. They've really stepped it up since the last World Cup where they, you know, fell out of it. And I don't feel sad that we lost to Australia because they're a fantastic side. I feel sad that we let that big lead, that commanding lead, slip and then lost by a commanding lead. But the reality is both sides are just fantastic. It's incredible attacking rugby. And look, after this, I'm going to go switch back and watch the two games today because Sunday, and what else do you do on a Sunday? So it's entertaining rugby. The rugby championship is fantastic. All four sides, it's Australia and Argentina for sure, but as well as New Zealand and the box. So it's so good to see.
Yeah, it's honestly been phenomenal. I thoroughly enjoyed watching both of those games by the Aussies and the Los Pumas. Oh. It was worth waking up at 6 a.m. to watch yesterday. Class sides. You know, people say running rugby like that is high-risk rugby, and I do agree when it comes to things like turnovers and knock-ons and stuff like that. But I think a huge contributing factor to the Wallabies' slow start is probably still their discipline. They conceded 14 penalties in this game to Los Pumas 7. And surprisingly, Quentin Pomi calling out the ref, even though he had less or half the Wallabies' penalty count. You know, that's something that they need to address if they want to climb into the game earlier.
Yeah, look, it's like I said, it's he's going to feel a little bit hurt that, you know, putting, you know, the Wallabies were right out there. They were as close as it gets and could have won the game, and they still earned a couple of points out of the match. And, you know, that puts him at the top of the log, right? And that's what's that going to mean for, you know, the next two rounds of the rugby championship? Because, you know, they could win a game against the All Blacks and win the rugby championship, really. Because, you know, that extra point would have matters. But it's uncharacteristic, I felt, that of Australia giving away so many penalties in this, you know, yesterday's match. You know, they've been quite disciplined, and that's been sort of one of their themes that they've harped on quite a bit now in the first four rounds. They've been very disciplined, and I think they were their worst enemy, their own worst enemy. They gave Argentina all the opportunities, and Argentina took all the opportunities.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think just to wrap off that stat around the penalty count, the fact that the Wallabies scored 3 tries to Los Pumas 1 try and still lost the game shows how much those penalties actually hurt them in this fixture.
Yeah, how many times have people said it? You need like an 80% kicker. You know, we have that with Andre Pollard. Everybody's saying, you know, as soon as Marnie's boots a little bit off, everybody's saying, oh no, we need Andre Pollard. Pollard kicks, he's got ice in his veins. And you know, I think Pollard's a 70-something% kicker, but
he's missed one kick this season.
This season, but overall his career, I think he's sitting in the 70s. And I think when it gets to tournaments, he always takes it up 10%. So then he becomes an 80% kicker when it really matters. But yeah, look, you need a kicker because three points, it all adds up right there. And the 2 points for the conversions. And that, you know, you can win a game with a good kicker. And, or you could just score shitload of tries.
Yeah, that's the other plan that's available there. But Ronnie, then let's go over to the one we're very eager to talk about, and that's the Boca putting the W in Wellington. 3 on the trot in Wellington, the capital city. The All Blacks have a 30% win record in the capital. I don't think they're going to be playing their big games there very often anymore. But yeah, 43-10 victory over the All Blacks. It is their biggest loss at home since 1964, where they lost by 15 points to the Wallabies, Ronnie. So history in the making yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there in the Caketon. It's a happy hunting ground for all the visitors. I think they've won. I think yesterday was 4 out of 10, and then after yesterday's game, it's 4 out of 11 that they've won. So look, we've won 2 there now, and I think in 2018 we drew that one. So it's good for us. Like, what's going on in that stadium? Must be the water, or maybe the Kiwis don't like the wind swirls or something. I act Vietnamese, but they should destroy that stadium. If that was happening at Loftus or something, I would definitely tell them, let's rather go play in bloody Morimole rather, as opposed to Loftus or something like that. But yeah, it's unfortunate.
But I mean, what do you expect when you invite a player like Oxenchair to a place called the Caketon? I mean, that's just asking for trouble. So 6-1, that was very impressive. We spoke about it over our WhatsApp chat and also on the pod last week, that the Box really needed to get a bonus point here and deny the All Blacks one. I did put an article about it on Punted as well, saying, you know, they'll be read the riot act by Rassie, told to go out there, hoi milis, and absolutely go for it. And they did. That's exactly what happened in this one. It was 10-7, the Box trailing at the break. And that second half, they came in, they kicked it up a gear, and it was balls to the walls rugby from the Boca.
Yeah, and I think that backline was perfectly suited to the style of you know, what everybody's talking about, Tony Ball. And I think that was perfectly suited to that. You know, it's a bunch of guys from Western Province and a couple of others. And this sort of youthful arrogance, I think you and I spoke about it, but it's worth mentioning, this youthful arrogance, you know, they weren't afraid. They're ready to swing the ball and to do and not play 10-man rugby, as we often ask for as Springbok fans. And, you know, they were playing with confidence. They swung the ball left and right and they stepped and they weren't afraid to show intent and take it to the line. And it was fantastic to see. And behind a forward pack, the forward pack that we had, sure, we lost Luit and a couple of other players, but we didn't lose momentum. The forwards absolutely dominated and just gave these backs a license and a platform from which to attack. And that was awesome to see. And look, I don't think we can have that every week. I think that's just one of our strategies. It's because it's risky rugby. It's high risk, high reward. And well, we got all the reward yesterday.
You know, the funny thing is it's also about execution in the crucial moments, because last week we had 13 entries into the 22 and couldn't finish them off, you know, if we were being bribed to. Now here we have 11 line breaks with 6 tries. It's finishing those opportunities. It's those crucial last passes. It's being in the right space on the field, you know, not dropping these balls off the lineouts. And we still saw moments of silly knock-ons like Kourbis, you know, and moments of error. But we took many more of our chances than we did the week before. And I think that was crucial. And maybe that does come down to the youth and a bit of arrogance. You know, they're easier for them to brush it off, don't get frustrated, and, you know, let's go for it. Let's do it again, boys. Let's go. But Ronnie,
I think, sorry to interrupt you, I think it's 3.5 points per visit to the 22. So that's, you know, we didn't see that the week before. We saw, you know, taking it up to the line, knocking it on, losing possession, and an opportunity gone missing. So 3.5 points per visit to the 22, I'd be very happy with that. Look, I don't know the exact stat, but it's 3.35 or 3.6 or something like that. So, you know, that's a healthy amount of points every time you get into the 22, as opposed to the All Blacks, you know, 10 points, and then that's where it stopped. So I thought it was very good. Of course, like you said, there were still handling errors. There were still knock-ons and the likes, but, you know, the Oaks were able to get over that and move forward, and that was just so good to see.
No, absolutely, Ronnie. But also, how physical was this game? It was unreal. It looked like a bloody hospital floor in a war zone at one point. I mean, we had Luit Diaka go off. In the notes, I have it recorded as a knee, but I see post-press conference, it's actually a reoccurring shoulder injury now that could rule him out for long-term, something he has been struggling with. Sasha's got concussion. Kourbis Reinach went off for an HIA, but fortunately came back onto the field. Chesen Colby's off with a leg injury. Noah Hatham went off with a concussion. Apalele Fassi in a moon boot, he's got another ankle injury, which also has been a recurring problem for him. So, yeah, an absolute bloody battle against the All Blacks. And despite the score, they are still our greatest foe, and absolute respect to them. We know this was a big victory. We celebrate this as a big victory. But by no means do we think that this is guaranteed, should we play again next weekend, that we could do this again.
No, exactly. And I think, you know, we've watched a bit of rugby. We still remember some of the hurt that they've inflicted on us before, you know, 57-0 and 55-10. And these are big losses, bigger than the ones that we put on them. So we still remember this. And it's important to remember that the All Blacks are class side and they'll be hurting. And I think we're just probably, it's the last game before next year's tours. So I think the greatest rivalry tour, as they call it, it's going to be huge.
You know, with this win, we've also now for the first time ever won back-to-back Freedom Cups. So that was really great. You know, I had that William Wallace Braveheart moment yesterday. I went out onto the deck and screaming, "Freedom!" And I'm pretty sure I fucked up someone's golf swing on the golf course. But we've done it, Ronnie. We've kept it. Still in the race for the rugby championship as well, which is great.
Yeah, I looked at it yesterday and I thought, oh, geez, we need to get 5 points from this match. And I don't know if we're going to get 5 points. We, you know, I believe we can win and, you know, made the call on Super Brew, but my head and my heart were at odds. And I didn't think that we'd get 5 points out of it. And that's exactly what we walked away with. And now we're second on the log. We completely reversed the log from where it was on Friday night. And hey, Jeepers, it's a very competitive rugby championship, that's for damn sure.
I also think probably more important now than the fact that we secured the bonus point, the 5 points on the log, is that we overturned the points difference deficit that we had.
Yeah.
Because coming into the final rounds of this competition, that could prove crucial in who actually takes home the trophy.
No, you're right. Both us and Australia were in the negative points differences, or also us and Argentina, and now we're up there with a almost mirrored imaged points difference, and it's unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen the All Blacks after round four being in a negative points difference.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen that? And I think I saw someone made a comment that it was 2003, and the Tri Nations, New Zealand were wooden spooners, and they had a negative points difference, but that's the only time that that's ever happened. And that was Tri Nations, not Rugby Championship.
Yeah, no, absolutely unbelievable, Ronnie. Then I hope Tupavae is being spoken to, because that man is louder than anyone I've ever heard, even louder than you playing some Xbox or doing anything. You love to be a loudmouth, Ronnie. But here we have Tupavae shouting, celebrating, getting under everyone's skin.
Yeah.
Maybe if he was a little more quiet, he'd make more tackles, because he missed five in that game.
Yeah, look, I'm definitely somebody that wants to... I understand why somebody would want to bring a bit of energy and cheer the small battles and the small wins. And you know, that we've seen England do it over the last couple of years, but it just felt that Tupo was forcing it a bit. And yeah, look, and that's fine. This is a game somebody will have a word with him and say, listen, win the bigger battles and celebrate. Because to celebrate like that after, you know, losing 33 points, it's unfortunate. But he is a menace, though, on the field. He's going to be a big name, I think, for the All Blacks in the coming years. Sure, missed some tackles, sure, but everybody has an off day, and it's probably his off day. But he tried very hard to remain positive, and I think he's a big name, and he's going to be a big name, and the All Blacks will make use of him in the years to come.
You know what was ridiculous, Ronnie, is yesterday I had two people message me on Puntit, presumably New Zealanders, saying that our behavior at the game was horrendous. How can we disrespect our host so much? And then they send me the photo of Damien Willems after he scored a try, punching in the air and looking at the crowd. I don't get how that's offensive, celebrating that, when you're then got Tupavae making the celebrations. Damien was celebrating and getting the crowd behind him. Nothing wrong with that.
Also, if I scored a try against the All Blacks, you know, they would hear me from the other side of the world, right? Yeah. I mean, it's the All Blacks, right? It's the greatest. It's the All Blacks. They're such an incredible side. I would I'd score one try against the All Blacks, then 50 tries against any other side, because the All Blacks are the All Blacks. They're an incredible side, and you want to score that big try. You want to celebrate scoring a massive try against them. And I don't understand it. Sure, look, South Africans were an arrogant bunch. You know, we saw in the WhatsApp group after the win, we were all unleashing each other, saying, enjoy the socials this week, boys, you know. And we're bad winners. We're definitely bad winners, but we love our team so much.
But I think on that point, huge ups to Damien Willems. He had possibly his best Springbok game yesterday. Started at 12, right, was moved back to 15. He had a lack of one. And then talking about celebrating a try against the All Blacks, poor Arkia Sneyman thinks he's got his first one, celebrates, has the try taken away. And he was like, I know that feeling now. I need that feeling. And he made sure he scored another one in the game that actually counted.
And I think sometimes that counts to our favor, Springboks. You know, we had two tries disallowed yesterday, right? So, you know, it's almost like it takes your wind out of your sails, and it almost motivates us as Springboks to say, like, okay, we're angry now. Like you say, now we want to go and score another try. So that's exactly what we went off and did.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Ronnie. I also feel a little bit sorry for Damien McKenzie, because he never seems to have a good game against the Boka, nor in Wellington. It just seems to be...
For such a class player, and right, Damien McKenzie is a great player, he hasn't scored a try since 2018 against the Boks.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah, no, and he had a tough day at the office yesterday. And then how incredible is it? Two tries from Chesney yesterday, almost snatched a third one. But I don't know if you've seen SuperSport did the replay of his previous try in Wellington, the intercept, and this one. To score almost identical intercepts in two separate games. Absolutely incredible. Hopefully his injury's not too bad. He was taken off the field. But yeah, he's an absolute legend of Bok rugby.
And he hasn't even got 50 caps yet, you know, and I find that so, so incredible. I think he's sitting on 40 something, and if even he's made it to 40. But how good is an intercept try from Cheslin? And it wasn't a 20 meter intercept, it was like a 60, 70 meter intercept try, and that's just fantastic to see. When he intercepted it, I thought, okay, who's in the back? Who's going to stop it? Well, you know, where's Bowden? He's going to, you know, where's Jordy? He's like going to stop him. And yeah, there was never a chance. He was a for away.
If Owen Farrell was watching that, that's at the point he turned the TV off. What do you say about Kane and Moody's performance at 13? I found it quite interesting that the two biggest wins we've had in the All Blacks in the modern era have been with Andre Esterhazen at 12 and Kane at 13. They seem to be a good centre pairing when they're together as well. But I think this game put paid to Kanan playing on the wing. He definitely is a 13.
Yeah, look, I think I said it to you yesterday. I don't always enjoy when they put these centres on the wing. Same with Ethan Hooker. But I suppose that's how you introduce them to the game. You slowly release them. You know, these centres are like sort of power wingers that you could put on the wing for a little bit and slowly, you know, work their way into the center position. But you're right, I enjoy Kane and I much prefer him at center. It's not to say he doesn't perform well at the wing. It's just wasted, I believe. And you're right, Kane is a good center. He's young. He can be there for many years. And it was good to see.
But I mean, talking about guys on the wing, it was typical Rassie Rantix and this weekend playing a hooker on the wing as well. What is up with that?
Yeah, good joke, good pun. I suppose that's why you're called the punted. But yeah, sure. Look, Ethan Hooker on the wing. It's good to see the for Rassie to do that in arguably one of the biggest games we've had. I suppose you could say last week was bigger, but this was a massive game. And to then say, look, we need the win. We lost last week. If we lose this, we definitely have lost the rugby championship. So go out there and do something amazing to young Ethan Hooker. It's gonna do wonders for his confidence.
Ronnie, we also spoke about the importance of Jasper Visser coming back, his ability to, you know, get so meters good for the Bokke, to move bodies at the rucks. And that's that 329 post-contact meters to the Bokke, only 207 to the All Blacks. A huge amount of that was due to Jasper and allowing him to free up Sia to play his more natural game, because Sia was on bloody fire yesterday.
Yeah, no, all three of our Lucys were fantastic. You know, it felt like we had eight Lucys on the field. And it was awesome to see. And I 100% agree, Jasper's performance made a massive impact, and I'm very glad to see him back. You know, there was one or two tackles where I thought, oh, here we go. Now we're in trouble. But it looks as he's just disciplined enough to keep it in the green. So that's good to see. But I think Jasper and a Jasper-like player or a Dwayne-like player is absolutely necessary for us, because he's so physical and it really hurts to tackle him, I'd imagine.
No, absolutely. And I think the message out of that and Jasper's performance yesterday is that we need to start looking for understudies for him for when he's not available, because the balance of our loose trio is completely off when we don't have that big ball-carrying eight. Then too much reliance is placed on the flankers, and then you don't see Peter Steff or Sia or Marku or them playing their natural game. So seeing that from Jasper, hopefully that sparks up, you know, getting Cameron Hunnicorn fit for long term, or looking at someone like Augustus coming in. Hopefully Ulrich Lowe's return will also fill that void. And then also, Ronnie, we just have to give a huge shout out to Marnie Lubbock. He came on yesterday. A lot of guys were worried, you know, with Sasha going off. Marnie stepped up 6 out of 7 kicks. He was running that back line. He was as comfortable as can be in that game yesterday.
But I think this is, you know, Marnie does that. Marnie's done that before. Brilliant kicking performances in games with no pressure. You know, so when he doesn't need to kick the kick, he kicks these incredible kicks and he shows that he can kick these kicks. And that's what I think frustrates a lot of people. We know you can kick. We know that you are an excellent kicker. And you kick from every corner of the field. But there's something about him where he's not calm, or his heart rate gets, you know, starts racing too much a little bit when the kicks really need to start to count. And yeah, Ak Vietni. But I agree, Marnie and that entire backline, but with Marnie, you know, marshalling it for a large part of that game, he just seems so natural, so comfortable. And it's such an attractive rugby that Marnie plays. with his fellow Western Province teammates.
No, absolutely, Ronnie. Then the last point I just want to touch on, and this is on a more sour note about this game, and that's the lineouts. Now, whilst it did look like we did very well because we pinched a couple of the balls from New Zealand, we still weren't up to standard. We only had a 79% success rate. The All Blacks a 69% success rate. And that's not good enough from either side. Better from the box, but still, that area needs a lot of work. We need to clean that up. We need to secure those balls better, take the pressure off the nine, and start delivering with our driving maul again.
Yeah, I think I might have said it last week, but I think there's been a less of a focus on the sort of traditional rugby skills and more a focus on trying to implement these advanced strategies, maybe a bit of toady ball focus. And we've obviously been very focused on being good at the scrum. But maybe some, you know, if we look at the two things that probably frustrate us over the last couple of weeks, it's our handling errors and it's the lineouts, right? So these are the things that we used to drill when you and I, as schoolboys, used to go to the field every Tuesday afternoon after class. You know, those are the first things you do. You do throw into the lineout, you know, 20, 30 times, and you do your basic drills where you're passing the ball and not knocking it on. And that's obviously a focus of us because we're a bunch of amateurs that, you know, couldn't do the advanced things that the Springboks are probably doing. But, and that's probably saying, look, the Springboks need to spend some time doing those basics again and just, you know, getting used to handling the ball, not knocking it on. You know, maybe they need to get John Smith in to show them how to catch a tip of a ball with one hand or something like this, where you just feel comfortable enough with the ball and throwing into the lineouts and doing these very, very rugby basics.
No, absolutely, Ronnie. So that's a wrap on round four of the Rugby Championship. Also, just a huge shout out to everyone in addition to our Patreon supporters. This weekend, we hit 70,000 followers on Facebook, 25,000 on Instagram. Guys, honestly, that's how you help us keep the show going as well, sharing the episodes around, tuning in, following us on the socials. So Ronnie and I are very, very grateful for that. Keep it up.
Sorry, guys. How many is that? Can you repeat that?
70,000 on Facebook and 25,000 on Instagram.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
So many people want to listen to your voice. That's
unbelievable. Yeah, they just want to hear me refuting your nonsense. And also just a special mention to the Barrett brothers from this weekend, because this weekend when all three of them ran out, they had a combined total of 300 test caps on the field. So
really?
That's epic for their family, yeah. So
I'm very sorry for Scott Barrett these days. He's going through a bit of a tough period. Sorry, carry on.
And then, Ronnie, unfortunately, the women box, they went down to the Black Ferns 46-17, but it was a really good first half. They went into the break tied 10-all. Some interesting Swiss magic there with full team lineouts. The Nuke squad with a 7-1 split. So lucky to see from the ladies. You guys did well. You can hold your heads up high. We're all proud of the effort you put in to qualify for your first quarters. And next time we'll be back stronger and better.
Absolutely. And it's, look, admittedly, I haven't been following Bok Rugby for all too long, but they play an exciting brand of rugby. So if you haven't started watching women's rugby, you bloody well should, because it's fantastic. Like you said, very interesting. Full team lineouts. Nadine Ruiz, the scrum off, getting picked up in the lineout. Yeah, it was entertaining.
Epic. Then just a few other things. John Dobson's been named to coach the Barbarians against the All Blacks 15. That's going to be quite lacquer in November. We have a Curry Cup final coming up, Ronnie. Lions versus Griquas after the Griquas beat the Cheetahs and the Lions beat Boerland in the semis. And then some good news, Edwel van der Merwe turned out for the Sharks in the warm-up against the Stormers on Friday, so he'll be back with the box shortly, I'm sure, back from injury. And Ruan Nokia named captain of the Blue Bulls under Johan Ackermann, and that'll be filled by Marcel Kutsia whilst he's with the box. But yeah, going to be a good season of URC rugby starting soon, guys. Don't forget to join us on Super Brew there. And we want to get that pool nice and big. And then, Ronnie, as we always do, rounding off the episode with the May Fokchom moment of the week. I don't think this can go to anyone but Damian Willemse. He had an absolute banger of a game. Everyone was doubting him, saying he's out of form, not even sure he could play the full 80. Move from 12 down to 15. Step you in an elevator if he has to. That try from Damian Willemse, you are and your game, your performance is the May Fokchom moment of the week.
Now that's it for this week on the Rugby Pundit. If you enjoyed the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, and join us again next week for more rugby insights, banter, and just the right amount of cheers. If you really want to be a chom though, Join us on Patreon for as little as 40 Rand. You'll get exclusive content, shout-outs on the pod, merch, discounts, all whilst helping us go the full 80 every week. And of course, jump on Super Brew so we can see who's topping the log and who's destined for that wooden spoon.